What a special morning. Can't you feel the presence? Nice, sweet anointing. You know, talking about Haiti this morning is especially important to me because Pastor Chris Musgrove was a minister at Melody Christian Center, and that was the first church that I went with to go to Haiti. And they introduced me to Pastor Luke and the people, and that's where my heart fell in love with the nation. I've been down there for 18 years now. So, see, what you do, Pastor, what you say, how you say it, you motivate us. By your life, by the way you live with your family, by the way you teach, by the way you talk to your kids, by the way that you live, you're an example that's given us the encouragement to say, I can do that. You believed in us, and we thank you for that. So this morning, we invite you in our home, in our house, to talk with our family. Please give a warm welcome to Pastor Chris Musgrove.
Hallelujah. Thank you. When I walk in and people are worshiping and standing and shouting and singing, that's home. Amen. That's heaven on earth. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Tell somebody I'm glad I'm not in jail this morning. You know, somebody said, I don't know what I'm thankful for. Yeah, you got a lot to be thankful for. Amen. We could be in jail or in the hospital. Amen. A couple weeks ago, I was preaching at a church, a black church here in town. And my daughter says, I said, Dad, I wish I could go with you. But she does the children's ministry at New Covenant, Victoria. And I said, yeah, I wish you could go too. She goes, I like black churches. I said, I do too. I said, I really prefer half black, half white churches. But if I had my preference, I'd rather go to all black church than all white church. Anyway. In fact, I was at an all-white church last week, and I told that story. They didn't smile too much. Anyway, I think the black church loved it. Amen. Hallelujah. I tell you what. Here's what I found out. The real church is in every church. You got some people just show up because they got to come or they feel like they owe God a favor or something. You know? I never was like that. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, I probably was back in the day before Jesus got a hold of me. Amen. You was going to church because your mama told you need to go. Hallelujah. Today is a special day. Amen. Today's a special day. It's always special in the Lord. And I was talking to Pastor Dale. I think this is back in July. He said, well, I want you to come on November 27th. I went, that's weird. But I'll come, brother. Yep, I can come. My calendar's open. Hallelujah. So, God dropped this word in my heart several years ago. I've been working with young people. I think the other day I figured 34 years I've been working with young people. I started when I was 8, so hallelujah. No, that's a joke. 34 years I've been working with young people, and we've been doing these school assembly programs for 15 years. We just finished 15 years. We were just in Cook County. We saw 900 high school students. We saw 750 middle school students. They bust the middle school. That's a big deal. And they bust 750 kids. And we did a program, and we talk about vision, purpose, and destiny. We use music, drama, kind of what you say. I tell people we have church in school, and they say, you can't talk about Jesus. I said, you don't have to talk about Jesus for him to show up. When we got there and we touched and agreed, he was there. But I tell people, I preach every time in the public school. They say, how can you do that? I can't say Jesus, and I can't tell them where I'm getting my information. But I've learned to paraphrase scripture. I've had them raise their hand and come walking down the aisle saying, glory to God. I didn't say Jesus. We didn't do an altar call. But the Holy Spirit grabs hold of those students, and we preach vision. I found out if you preach the word, if you preach on healing, people get healed. If you preach on the blessing of God, people get blessed. If you preach on vision, people get a vision. My Bible says, without a vision, my people perish. I found out these kids, drugs, alcohol, premarital sex, gangs, violence, failing grades, and bullying are not problems. They're symptoms of a bigger problem. You ain't got a plan. They're perishing because they don't have a vision. And we see these seniors sitting up on the front row, and they're going, they're getting all nervous, like, I'm fixing to graduate. I don't know what I'm doing. And I tell my story. I didn't know what I was doing. And I don't want to, this is not my message. It's just a little appetizer for you. But I've seen these kids, they'll go home and tell their mom and dad, we got to go back tonight. Man, that was good today. It was good music, good drama, good this. And plus we feed them, we give away flat screen TVs, Wild Adventures passes. And the parents, the teachers and the administrators love us because we get mom and daddy to come back. Listen, they don't have student problems at the school. Did you know they don't have student problems? They got parent problems. If there's a problem at the house, it just comes back every morning with the kid. And I don't know about you, when there was a problem with me, daddy took care of the problem. But we don't got daddies. That's the problem with the schools. They're having to parent the children, not just teach them. So the administrators love what we do because we get the parents back. They said, we couldn't get those parents back when we had steak dinners, but you got them. And so we thank God for that. We had 119 people gave their lives to Jesus Christ two Wednesdays ago. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. God is good. That's just what God told me to do, and that's what I do. And I love what I do. I found out if you find out what you love to do, it ain't work no more. Amen. Now, it's hard work. We stay up late. We get up early. It's a lot of work. But if you're doing what God's called you to do, like I said, it's not work anymore. Amen? So as I began to work with youth, I began to just really see how, I think it was Barna Research says, at the age of 18, the chances of becoming a Christian go down 95%. That means there's only a 5% chance they'll become Christians at the age of 18, after the age of 18. That ain't good, is it? How you doing? Glory to God. This woman worked in the schoolhouse a lot of years. She knows what I'm talking about. Amen? You doing all right? I didn't mean to kiss on your wife. I'm sorry. So, now Josh McDowell, that Barna Research is old research. Josh McDowell just said this about 2 years ago. John Mark Eager at the Mailbox Club met with me. He said, Chris, you got to watch this video. He clicked the video on. Josh McDowell said, that's 12 years old now. Folks, if we really believe that, we'd be running to the schoolhouse. And here's the trouble with me. I only do sixth grade up. We're starting to get, of course, nowadays, a fifth grader knows what I knew when I was in the 12th grade. I graduated a long time ago. It's really sad. We've been in elementary schools where the kids were pregnant. That ain't supposed to be that way. Somebody say amen. And as I began to pray about this and study the Lord, I always tell people it's like stepping in grace. You know what I mean? I didn't say I got lucky, but God's goodness, amen? The steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. Sometimes I don't know what to do, but just pray in the Holy Ghost, and the Lord will direct your step. And as I was praying one day, and I began to read this, I got a hold of this story. I'd heard somebody talk about how they would never attend the death of an atheist. And I said, where is that story? I can't remember where I heard that. They said it was a horrible thing, screaming and yelling. And then, of course, remember the story about Brother Hagin, the woman that died and went to hell. And she went screaming, it's dark, I'm scared. And she died and went to hell. He said, we couldn't get through to her. Make you want to go tell somebody about Jesus before it's too late. And I just looked this up, and I found out there's a story about this young man. He was 15 years old. His name is Anthony Flew. You can Google it. F-L-E-W, Anthony Flew. At the age of 15, he became an atheist. His father was a Methodist preacher. And he got to thinking, he got to hearing his father and the church always say that God is good, God is good, God is good. And God is good. And then they began to say, God is in complete control of the earth. God is in complete control. God, and we say those things. I like Pastor Dale. He'll get these things that people say, and he'll prove they're wrong in the scripture. I was going down the road one day hearing him teach, and I said, I got to call that man right now. Man, that was good. I always thought what you were saying. You know, sometimes people say stuff in the pulpit, and inside your spirit man will go, everybody else is yelling amen, and you even saying, hey, something just caught in my spirit there, and I can't say amen. I don't. What can I say amen? Your spirit man and the word of God agree. Amen. You might not know why. You better find out why. Don't just yell amen. I've been to churches. They be yelling at a grocery list. Amen! Collard greens, cornbread, right? Amen! They just so busy yelling amen, they don't know. Your wife's good looking. Amen! You know, just yelling all kind of stuff. And I struggle when people say God is in control. Here's what I found out. God's in control of me, but I don't know about the rest of this world. Because I bowed my knee to him. I gave him control. Somebody say amen. People say God is in control. You got people teaching that whatever happens is God. But God took your baby. He needed that baby and as a flower in his garden. That must be in the Book of Mormon because it ain't in the King James Bible. It ain't in no Bible. And you got preachers. I found out when people don't know the answer, they'll just say stuff. When I was in school, if you didn't know the answer, don't raise your hand. Something stupid will come out. Don't go be on a game show if you don't know nothing. I just found out, I don't know. Well, we were riding down the road one day. I was talking to this one guy, and he was telling me, I've been meeting with this guy, and he just says, he said, God's in complete control, and you just got to just go with it, whatever he says, whatever. I said, I do believe that, but I don't believe he's just, you know, they believe that you just walk up and slap somebody's heart. It was God's will. Well, that's stupidity right there. And then the guy said, he said, well, if God's in complete control of everything, this is a good question. I'd never heard this before. He said, if God's in complete control of everything, then why do you have to send Jesus? And this is what the man said that didn't think about the answer. He said, oh, God just did that because it looked good on paper, just a facade. Folks, if that's true, God's going to have to apologize to Jesus throughout eternity for what he did to him. There. Think about the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, Lord, he was a man. He became a man. He says, is there any other way we can do this? If there is, let this cup pass from. He says, there ain't no other way. You got to go. And I don't even want to go into what happened to Jesus. We know. You know the story. Well, that was a dumb man that said what he said. And so the guy turned to me and says, well, why did God send Jesus? And I went, oh, I'm a preacher. I've been saved. Went to Bible school. Been preaching for 20 years. And the Lord said, you don't know the answer. You better shut your mouth. I'll get back with you in a couple days. This is the God's honest truth. I went home and Googled why God sent Jesus Christ. Now somebody said, you should have known that. He loved us. Well, he loves us. He didn't want us to go to hell. Those are all reasons. So I got to studying the purpose of Jesus Christ. And listen, this was crazy. As I was studying this out, I came across this story about this young man that became an atheist. He became a scientist. And he said this, Anthony Flew. He said, I will always go where science leads. He became an atheist. He wrote 40 works on atheism. He traveled all over the world and taught on atheism. He debated C.S. Lewis. You know C.S. Lewis? Now, he said C.S. Lewis was a brilliant mind. And he said, I could almost believe C.S. Lewis, except that he believed in the free will of man was why evil was in the earth. He said, I couldn't buy that. C.S. Lewis was right. It is a free will of man. And he did have a lot of respect for C.S. Lewis. But here's what happened. In the early 2000s and the late 1990s, he started studying DNA. Remember, he said he'd always go where science leads. As he started studying DNA, he said, this ain't no accident. There's got to be a higher power. And he became a non-atheist. He wrote a book, How the Notorious Atheist Became, he didn't become a Christian, but he believed in a God. He said, I can't believe in the God of the Bible, but I believe there is a God that created the heaven and he created the earth, and then he removed himself. That's what he believed. If he'd just read his Bible. You ever read Genesis? Genesis 1? God created the earth. Then he created man in his own image. He put man in control. You want to turn that up there, Genesis chapter 1? We're going to go from Genesis to Revelation. We'll have dinner about 5 o'clock today. Hallelujah. We don't have a lot of time because I want to get to my point here. And listen, if you'll listen, this is a foundational truth that'll change you. It'll change the way you pray. It'll change the way you read the Bible. I'm telling you, I've been in ministry 34 years, and it changed my life. God's word will change your life. It's the seed. Somebody say amen. Amen. And I'm telling you, I ain't that smart. Like I said, I didn't know the answer. I could have said something. God came because he didn't want you to go to hell, or he loved you. I looked it up. I found one that said like 28 reasons why Jesus came. I was like, man, I just want one good one, you know? I mean, hallelujah. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, I think, is that where? Yeah, there it is. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion. Everybody say dominion. Now remember, man was male and female. This is a whole other message. That's why God said a man and a woman. When a man and woman comes together, that's the fulfillment. Remember, God took woman out of man. So when a man and a man comes together, that ain't right. Or when a woman and a woman comes together, that ain't right. You'll never have complete God union until a man and a woman come together. He says, and let them have dominion. Everybody say dominion. You know what? Dominion means you have a domain. Who has a domain? A king. A king has a domain. He says, let him have over everything on the earth that's creeping and everything that creeps on the earth. Everything. You had dominion. God put man in control. Man was king of the earth. And then in Genesis chapter 3, you know what happened? There wasn't 10 commandments. It was only one commandment. What was the one commandment? You can do whatever you want. Just don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You don't need to know that. Everything's good. I mean, it was the perfect world. No death, no curse, no sickness, no food lines. We don't have to go. There are no orphanages. It was a perfect world. Just don't eat from that tree. I'm going to tell people. I tell young people, if your mama said don't go to the club, don't hang out at the club. Don't hang out near the club. Amen? I don't even know what they were doing near the tree. Don't even go near the tree. A curiosity killed the cat. Amen? So they go up to the tree. Go there. Is it Genesis 3? I think we'll start with verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field. Who was the serpent? It was Satan. You go back to Isaiah and Ezekiel. You can see where Satan was cast down. He took 1/3 of the angels with him. There was a rebellion. Pride came in. He fell. And he said, he was more cunning than any beast of the field. He said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of the tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said. She was doing good. She's quoting God. We need to quote God. Somebody say amen. God's word is the seed. It'd be like you having a sack of seed in your truck, Crawford. Well, that's good seed. You used to roll that window and just start chunking it everywhere. Going down the driveway, there's seed. The seed is the word of God. The devil hates the seed. We'll see that before the day's over. And the woman said, we may not eat. God has said, you shall not eat. Then the serpent, that's where she should have just, get out of here. God said that, and that's all I need to know. Get out of here. And the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. She was quoting God. He said, you shall not eat it nor touch it lest you die. For God knows that the day you eat it, your eyes will be open and you shall be like him and knowing good and evil. So the woman saw that she just listened to him. She listened to the devil. She gave in to the devil. She ate and she gave it to her husband. There's a whole lot in there. You go back and read it and you'll get some more. But the bottom line was they disobeyed God. Folks, let me tell you something. The minute you disobey God, you done obeyed Satan by default. Somebody said, I just don't really listen to God all the time. So no, listen, obedience is worship. You can take obedience. Every time you see the word worship in the Bible, you can just put obedience in there. I will obey the Lord with all my heart. I will worship the Lord with all my heart. I'm going to show you here in some scriptures. You'll see it really clear. Somebody said, I'm not a Satan worshiper. If you ain't obeying God, you are. Because obedience is worship. I tell you something. Let me just tell you this. If you want to know somebody who their Lord is, who are they obeying? Obedience determines lordship. That'll preach right there. If all you got was that, then you could go home blessed today. You got your money's worth. Obedience determines lordship. Don't tell me what you think or what you believe. Tell me what you do. Amen? Amen, baby. She got it. So the curse came. The curse came. People all the time say, why is bad things happening? Why does this happen? Why'd that baby die? Why'd the flood come? Because we're in a cursed, unforsaken, God-forsaken, devil kingdom world right now. And as long as we're here, there's going to be death, sickness, famine, storms. Well, why don't God stop it? Because God ain't in control down here. He's in control of the heavens. The Bible says, I had this verse. I want you to see it. Oh, glory to God. I got so many scriptures here. I'll probably. Psalm 115, verse 16. Good verse. Psalm 115, verse 16. You got that? The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men. Is that clear? Amen. Is somebody, that's not the King James. I'm not. You go get the King James, get the Amplified, get the Woman Bible, the Girl Bible, the Man Bible, any kind of Bible you got. It's pretty plain. The heavens, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. Now listen, you may say, I just don't know if I agree with, because my grandmother said, listen, I love your grandmother, I love my grandmother, I love my mama, but my mama ain't the Holy Ghost. My mom always said God was in control. Well, she's right. He is in control once you bow your knee to him. Jesus is Lord. But Jesus ain't Lord over everything. And I can choose to walk out of his lordship right now. We could jump in the truck, go out here and get my truck, and get a pistol, run ahead and rob a liquor store right now. Well, it must have been God's will. People, if you believe that, no, that was my will. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Romans 6:16, now here's what happened. They submitted themselves to Satan. The curse came. You know the story. God came down and said, where are you? They said, well, we hid ourselves. Why'd you hide? Because we're naked. Who told you you were naked? You know that word naked in the Greek, naked? I always say naked. People, naked. I can't say it right. Naked means not having what I need. I like that. Who told you you don't have what you need? You, my God shall supply all my needs. Thank God I'm not under the curse anymore. I'm under the blessing of Abraham. I'm under the new covenant. Amen? Based on a new promise. Under the blood of Jesus. They were singing that song. My God is the Lamb. The Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains. The curse of sin was broken. You know, it was interesting. This guy was a Methodist. His father was a Methodist preacher, Anthony Flew. And he went to a Wesleyan school. Did you know John Wesley said this? He said he founded the Methodist church. He did a lot of preaching in the state of Georgia, John Wesley. Remember the Wesley brothers? Wrote a lot of great hymns. John Wesley said, it seems that God can do nothing for mankind unless someone asks him, but I don't know why. He read a lot of scriptures, and he says it seems that way. Well, I went to Kenneth Hagin. I went to Rhema Bible Training Center, and Dad Hagin said he got to reading those stories. He said, it does seem that way. He said, well, I want to know why. And the Lord took him to the book of Genesis. Go back to the book of beginnings, and you'll see what happened. And it's pretty clear. And somebody said, I don't know if I believe that. Just keep reading. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Listen to Romans 6:16. Romans 6:16 says, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey? Whether of sin leading to death, the curse, or obedience leading to righteousness. Worship is obedience. Now, what they did, they disobeyed. You know, I like that scripture. It said, if you submit yourself to God, resist the devil, is that James 4? And he will flee. I always tell people, if you'll just submit to God, you are resisting the devil. The minute you submit to God, you're resisting the devil. You don't have to resist the devil if you're submitting to God. Somebody said one time, they said, well, they didn't ask Jesus to forgive them of their sins. When you say Jesus is Lord, you don't have to ask Jesus to forgive you your sins. It's under the blood. Boom! Bible says in Romans 10:13, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When you confess Jesus is Lord, if you believe in your heart, you don't just confess something unless you believe it. The confession comes because of what you believe. Amen? I believe, therefore I spoke. Romans 10. Now, 2 Corinthians 4:4, just to make sure you got this. This is New Covenant. This is in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians 4:4. The Apostle Paul called Satan the god of this world. In Jesus, in John 14:30, said Satan is the prince of this world. 1 John 5:19 says, we know that we are the children of God and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. That's the devil. Somebody say amen. There's three verses. The Bible said by two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Now, John 17:16-18 says this. Jesus is speaking. Remember the priestly prayer in John 17? Jesus said, they are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have sent them into the world. Listen, the minute you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you just changed citizenship. You became an illegal alien in the United States of America or in this world. Girl, you don't belong here. Your citizenship is in heaven. Now, somebody said, well, I'm still here. Yeah, you're still here in the flesh, but you're seated in heavenly... glory to God. You're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Amen. If you don't get your shouting clothes on, I'm going to have to... Maybe it's just so good you can't hardly stand. I hope you're grabbing hold. 1 Peter 2:11 says, we are strangers and aliens here. We're just passing through. We're the light in a dark world. Folks, they ain't going to like you. They don't like you. The world will never like you. They hate you. And they're full of the devil. Their family. You know what Jesus said? He goes, you're of your father, the devil. Now, you don't go around telling people that. Well, you might need to. Howard Goldstein will. He'll tell them. You're of your father, the devil. Sometimes you just need to tell them. Amen. That's why you don't like me. We got different in-laws. Hallelujah. Outlaws or whatever you call it. Philippians 3:20 says, our citizenship is in heaven. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now we're going to get to the good stuff. Remember what John Wesley said? It seems that God can do nothing for mankind unless someone asks him. God finally found a man whose obedience determined lordship. Now this is still old covenant, but there's a man by the name of Abram. Abram, he said, get up out of your father's house and go. Where am I going? I'll tell you when you get there. Walk by faith, not by sight. Oh, it's called obedience. Okay. Tell me when I get there because I'm gone. He left. He got him a wife named Sarai. And then one day he said, now you look up at the heavens. See them stars? He said, yeah, your children, your descendants are going to be like that. Man, there's a bunch of them. Sarah's getting a little old. We better tighten up. And then he said, look down at the sand of the sea. He said, you see the sand? Your descendants are going to be like the sea, the sands of the seashore. He said, wow, there's a bunch of sand down there. He said, God, you better do something quick. And this is interesting. This is a whole other message teaching on confession. Confession's real. So much, I don't believe in confession. Well, you don't believe in getting born again because the Bible says if you confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. If you don't believe in confession, you can't even get saved. And if you just read your Bible, the Bible says that life and death are in the power of the tongue. You shall have what you say. Jesus said you can have what you say, but most people are just saying what they have. Confession works in reverse too. Man, our car's a piece of junk. It just don't run. It's stupid. This house leaks. The door, front door whines. Nah, nah, nah. And it's just, you just cursing as you go. If I tell people, they say, I don't believe in that confession. I say, yeah, I think it works for you in reverse. Look at what you got. Well, Abraham, for 12 years, they couldn't get pregnant, couldn't have a baby. And then Sarah, you remember, she laughed. And God changed his name to Abraham. You know what Abraham means? A father of many nations. He's going around saying, my name's Abraham. I'm a father of many nations. Everybody's looking behind to see where their children. Ain't nothing back here. That man's crazy. I'm a father of many nations. His wife's old. He's old. Ain't got no babies. 3 months after he started, his confession got right. She got pregnant. 12 years, no baby. 3 months, change of confession. She got pregnant. She had a boy named Isaac. It means the promised one. It means laughter. And then all of a sudden in Genesis 22, go there. Genesis 22, you got to see this. You got to see this. Genesis 22, verse 5. Can I just tell you something? If you'll get this in your spirit and you begin to study this yourself, you'll get more revelation than I could even ever dream of. So you'll get revelation that I didn't ever. In fact, write me a letter or call me and give me the revelation God gave you because I just want to keep getting it. There's not enough time for me to deliver everything that God's put in me. And listen, I'm telling you, I have people walk up to me every time I preach this and they say, man, did you ever see this? I'm like, oh my God, hold on, stop. Let me write that down. I'm talking about revelation is like an onion. You just keep peeling it, it gets better as you go. Amen. Somebody came up to me, a young man, he was in a church. He said, my father was a pastor. I grew up in church. I have never understood the gospel until today. I gave my life to Jesus. And he's been sending me letters. He's working in the church. He's involved. One lady walked up to me after church. She wrote a check with a pencil and said, here's $1,000. I've never heard the gospel like that. I said, I'll preach it again. Hold on. Glory to God. Now listen, I didn't come here to get an offering. I came here to pour some seed on the ground. But you need to take that seed and you need to go out these doors. You need to get in your Bible and prove me wrong. Oh, I don't know if I agree with that. Give me some scripture. I'll change. The scripture is my guide. The word of God is a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my path. His word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against him. The Bible says in Psalm, he says he exalts his word above his own name. Isaiah 55 said, my word shall not return void. Come before me. Put me in remembrance. Somebody told me the other day, I just heard this, high praise. Now listen, I'm not real sure what high praise is, but I don't want to be low praise. I want to be high praise. They said high praise is when you speak his word back to him. I don't know about you, but I'm going to get me some word. He wants to hear. How many children want your babies to come to you and say, Daddy, I remember what you said. I never forgot. Whoa, I love that baby. Come here, baby. Here's $100, baby. Come. You know what I mean? Don't that make you proud? And they took your wisdom and your godly advice. Man, God said, my word shall not return void. The Bible says it's in an incorruptible seed. Oh, man, we get seeds. We live them in the bathroom up on the shelf and put them in the closet and leave them for 20 years. Go out and throw a little dirt, spit on them, and next, poop, there they go. But the word of God's way more incorruptible than the little seed we got. Somebody say amen. Sometimes you put some seed in somebody's heart. It might not come up for 12 years. Bless God, I'm like Johnny Appleseed. Did you know Johnny Appleseed? I just read this. He was an evangelist. He's just chunking apple seeds everywhere he went. Somebody don't believe it. Go read it. Hallelujah. I didn't know that he was a preacher. Okay, you got Genesis 22? I got to hurry. And Abraham said to the young men, stay here with the donkey, for the lad and I will go yonder and... Did you know that's the first time the word worship's mentioned in the entire Bible? First time. Listen, folks, there wasn't no congos, bongos, there wasn't no guitars or harps or nothing strapped on that donkey. Do you hear me? We've reduced worship to music. We're going to have a worship service now. No, we're going to have a worship service now, tomorrow morning, tonight, in the morning, at lunch. Worship is obedience. I struggled with this whole message here because I said, God, I can buy a man getting swallowed by a fish. I can borrow anything. David killing Goliath with a rock. But I can't buy a man taking his son up on a mountain and going to sacrifice him. I can't go there. And then I read, I think is it in Galatians? I'm getting ahead of myself. I'll get you there. Let's finish reading this. Are you with me? How many of y'all got boys and girls? You're going to take your child up on a mountain and sacrifice it. Whew. But I got something that'll help you. Can we just be honest? You worked hard to give them babies. You ain't going to go sacrifice them. And listen, God's not into human sacrifice, I promise you. And Abraham said to the young man, we're going to go up there and worship. And Abraham took the word of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac's son, took the fire in his hand. And Isaac spoke to Abraham, verse 7, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, son. And he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham, this is good preaching. Woo, Jesus, you see this? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. My God is the lamb that was slain for the sin of this world. His blood breaks the chain. Boy, y'all picked a good song this morning. Hallelujah. We in the flow. Somebody say amen. And then he came to the place which God told him, and Abraham built an altar, verse 9. He bound Isaac. And he said, he laid him on the altar, and Abraham stretched out his hand, took the knife and to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only begotten son. I don't know. One translation actually says only begotten son. Only begotten son. Where have you heard that before? Have you ever heard your only begotten son? This is the New King James. I think the King James says only begotten. Just go back and look it up. He said only begotten son. Now this, and then he said this. He said, and then Abraham lifted his eyes and there was a ram in the bushes. And then look at verse 15. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time. This is good stuff right here. You listening? And the angel said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord. The Lord speaking. By myself I have sworn, says the Lord. God done gone to swearing. This is going to be good. You better grab hold. Because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only begotten son, with blessing I will bless you. With multiplying I will multiply. Your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants, that's me and you folks. You can get in on this. Your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. That's Satan. Now you're going to see something here in just a minute. You're going to shout. Somebody might need to run. That's fine. Now, I'm going to read to you Galatians 3. We've got to go back to the New Covenant because I want you to see that the Bible says in the New Covenant that Abraham understood what was going on. Therefore, be sure that in those who are of faith, who are sons of Abraham, the scripture foreseeing, this is Galatians 3, 7 and 8. I'm getting in a hurry here. Man, I like they got the clock right there on the wall. I don't even have to look at my watch. The scripture foreseeing, verse 8, Galatians 3, 8, that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. He preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham. Abraham saw the crucifixion. He saw the resurrection. He saw that Jesus was going to come through his loins. Man, I don't know about you. I get excited. I'm not saying, hey, son, I love you, but if we don't sacrifice you, Jesus can't come. Now, remember what John Wesley said? He says, it seems that God can do nothing for mankind unless someone asks him. Folks, listen, somebody said, well, we love the Israel. We love the Jewish people. There wasn't no Israel. It wasn't Israel. It was Abraham. It was a man, not a country, not a group of people. Israel are the descendants. But now we're all descendants because of Jesus Christ. We are a chosen generation. We're a royal priesthood. Somebody say amen. And he said, all nations will be blessed in you. So then those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham the believer. Abraham was the first believer before there was believers. Because the gospel got preached to him beforehand. Man, I don't know about you. People say, I want to see Jesus. I want to see John. I want to see Paul. Man, I want to go hang out with Abraham. I said, my God, brother, I'm glad you did what you did. Thank you, brother. You helped us. A man had to get back what a man lost. And Abraham got it all started. That's why we go, Father Abraham, and many. We got to bring that song back, honey. Many sons have. We can jazz it up a little bit. Y'all can probably do it here and make it right. Hallelujah. And I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just pray. Hallelujah, somebody. Hebrews 11:19. Abraham reasoned that God, and here's where the issue I had, God fixed that. God's word will handle everything. Yeah, I just don't know if I can. You need to keep reading. Amen. Hebrews 11:19 says, Abraham reasoned that God would even raise him from the dead, and in so manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. He believed he was just going to raise him back. Because remember what he told him in Genesis 22:5? What did he say? He said, we're going to go up there and worship. We will be back. He didn't have a mouse in his pocket. Somebody say amen. Amen. He was talking about Isaac's coming back with me, and he'll be alive. Okay, in Luke chapter 4. In Luke chapter 3, you can look in Luke, I think it's in John. When this is interesting, because remember what Abraham told Isaac when he asked him, where's the lamb for the sacrifice? He said, God will provide the lamb. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. He had to get out of town, had to go to Egypt, came back, was raised in Nazareth. And John the Baptist is out prophesying out in the wilderness. He's out by the Jordan River. And Jesus shows up in Luke chapter 3. And I don't think it actually says this in Luke chapter 3, but we're going to Luke chapter 4. But it does say this, that when John looks up, remember John was a prophet before the new covenant. He made the way for Jesus. He looked up and saw Jesus. He says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He just left off where Abraham, he's going to provide a lamb, and behold, he's here. And then he baptized John in the River Jordan. He came up out of the water. The heavens opened up and the voice said, behold, my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Sorry about that, Michael. Thank you. We got good sound people back there. Anyway, I was trying to be like that Ephraim Sybilis Jr., whatever that guy is. I'm like, oh, you know. Anyway, he says, and a dove came down and lit on Jesus and said he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately he got up and he went into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now listen, I don't believe the devil knew where Jesus was all those years, but I believe he heard that same voice. The devil says, my God, I've been looking for that boy since Nazareth or Bethlehem. I found him. I'm going to him. Now we're coming to, this is judgment day, really. This is it. Because Jesus is a man. God became a man to get back what a man lost. And the covenant that Abraham cut was an old covenant. The Abrahamic covenant made way for the covenant of the blood of Jesus, the new covenant. And Jesus is there. He's fasting for 40 days. The devil shows up till at his weakest point. He's going to come at you at your weakest point. And he says, hey, man, why don't you turn that rock into a quarter pound of cheese or whatever or something, bread. And he says, it is written. Ooh, I like that. You know, I like that because he could have said, weren't you listening back there? God said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Back off. He never mentioned who he was. He just quoting the word of God. You know what I like about that? Because I can do what he did. Amen. We can quote the word, can't we? He don't like the word. In fact, it's reading from the will. Satan's the accuser of the brethren. My father, he's 90 years old and he's got a will. His will don't go in force. It's just a piece of paper. But the minute he dies, the will becomes alive. I don't want his junk. I want my daddy. Amen? But if somebody shows up at the reading of the will and says, no, that's supposed to be my house. I think he gave that to me. I said, you need to go to page 8, line 3, verse 16. That's my house. Now get your butt out of here. I'm not going to say, no, that ain't your house. My daddy said, no, we're going to read what my daddy said. Well, you need to read what your daddy says. Listen, somebody says, we just don't know God's will. Yes, you do. I read it every day. Because the devil's going to come tell you, you're not healed. Oh, wait a minute, devil. 1 Peter chapter 2. Amen. What is it? Or 2 Peter. What's that? By his stripes we are healed. Where's that at? By his stripes we were healed. Where's that at? Thank you, brother. I'm glad you're here. We'd be in trouble. You better have somebody that's been reading the will. You hear me? I'm serious. This is a matter of life and death because the devil's going to come accuse you. And you got to do what Jesus did. Then he says, he said, why don't you jump off this? The angels will catch. He said, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord your God. And he done quoted scripture. The Bible says that he'll give his angels charge over you. Why don't you jump off this bill? I said, devil, why don't you jump off, fool? Now, that's what I'd have said. But Jesus didn't even get in our discussion. He just said, it is written. He just kept saying, it is written. And then he took him up on a high mountain. You want to check that verse out? Where's that at? Luke, verse 5. Is it verse 5? Yeah, verse 5. Then the devil took him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in one moment of time. Keep going. Thank you. And the devil said to him, all this authority, dominion, remember Genesis 3? All this authority I will give to you and their glory, for it has been delivered to me. When was it delivered to him? In Genesis 3. And I will give it to whomever I wish. And that's where he lied. He's a liar. You got to remember that. He's the father of all lies. Keep going. Is there more there? Did I have another verse? Verse 8. And Jesus answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship, obey, woo, glory, glory, glory. You shall obey or worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. He basically said, yeah, God is in control of me, and you got to leave. And the Bible said the devil left him. And I'm going to tell you, if you'll quote the word of God, he'll leave you too. Sickness will leave you. Poverty will leave you. Fear will leave you. Drugs will leave you. Alcohol will leave you. Everything the devil brings will leave you if you'll stand on God's word and quote God's word. Now listen, I tell young people this all the time. You can't say it is written unless you know it is written. Thank you for the word, brother. Glory to God. Because the devil's going to come. He's going to say opposite. You know, he told me, he said, you ain't going to die. Well, they were thinking, fall over. They didn't fall over dead. They died spiritually. I got a message called the four phases of life. It's called the birth. It's called spiritual death. That's number two. That when your child realizes he's naked and hides in the bathroom, that's usually they're smart enough to know the knowledge of good and evil. You know, when the kids run around the house, hey, daddy, the pastor's coming over. I'm like, go put your clothes on, son. Usually if they can understand. You know, you got children. That when then they lock four doors in the bathroom. Man, why you gotta lock four doors? I ain't coming in there looking at you. They know that it's wrong to run around the house naked. I call it the age of naked accountability. I don't know. I got scripture. You know, Adam and Eve hid themselves. They knew it was right or wrong. When the child reaches that, that's phase two. Phase three should be you must be born again. And the last phase is physical death. So you got physical birth, spiritual death, spiritual rebirth, born again, and then you got death. If you miss number three, we got work to do. Somebody say amen. So, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 says this. It says, since children have flesh and blood, Hebrews 2:14, he too shared in their humanity so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil. He's the author of death. Somebody say amen. That's a good verse. 1 Corinthians 15:45 says this, and it is so written, 1 Corinthians 15:45. So the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. One translation says the second Adam. A man had to get back what a man lost. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hebrews 9:16, for where there is a testament, there must all, this goes back to what I was saying about the testament. The word testament is another word for testament is will. You know, my last will and testament. I said my father's will not go into force until he dies. And then it becomes an active document. I guess we got any lawyers in here? I'm not real good. I was calling it a will and a willie. I don't know what a willie is. But this is what the New King James says. For where there is a testament, there must also be the death of the testator, the one that made the testament, the one that made the will. For the testament is not in force or is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator lives. Jesus died. The testament is alive. If you can read it, it belongs to you. I just don't know what God's will is. You need to read the Word of God. Now, I know sometimes you got, does God want me to go to Africa or not? You got to pray and seek God about certain things. Amen. Hallelujah. You got to learn to hear from God. Matthew chapter 16. We're on the downhill slope. We're doing good. Can you give me about three more minutes? Four or five more minutes, okay? Matthew chapter 16, verses 14 through 19. Now, this is the downhill slope. Remember, I told you this is a foundational message. Anybody in here that builds houses know you got to build a foundation. You ain't building no house. You might have a house for a little while. First storm comes, it's going to be over. You got to go deep if you want the structure, especially if you're going to do more than one story. Jesus is walking with the disciples in Matthew 16, and in verse 14 they said, before I get to verse 14, he basically says, who do the people say that I am? And he answers, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah, one of the prophets. And then Jesus turns and says, well, who do you say that I am? Verse 10. Verse 11 or verse 16, Simon Peter answered and said, you are Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Your brain didn't come up with this. My Father revealed this to you. That's called revelation. He got a rhema word. And he said, upon this truth that you just got, I will build my church. What truth? That Jesus Christ is the living. There's a lot of people believe, you know, Oprah and some of these, they believe that there's many ways to heaven. No, there ain't. Jesus is the only way. You got to get back to God. And Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. And you got to believe that Jesus is God, that God became a man. We're getting ready to celebrate Christmas. This is a great message for Christmas. God became man and dwelt among us. Amen? Emmanuel, God with us. No other religion had their God come die for them. It ain't religion. This is a relationship. This is a kingdom. He said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. And I also say to you that upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of, a lot of people say Peter was the foundation. Peter ain't no foundation. Well, you know, just a few minutes after that, he said, get behind me, Satan. Peter got revelation. And listen, we all screw up. We all say things we shouldn't say. But the foundational truth, when you confess Jesus Christ is the living Son of God, you can enter into the church. That's the foundational truth that brings you into the kingdom of God, that makes God control, gives God control over your life. He can't have dominion if you're not submitted to the king. Somebody say amen. And when you're not submitted to the king, you're in rebellion. Somebody say amen. And he said, I also say to you that on this rock, this foundational truth, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, I don't know about you. When I used to read this verse, I saw these gates chasing me around. I should have been smarter than that. Gates ain't got legs. They ain't got arms. In fact, I grew up on a farm. Gates are to keep things in or keep people out. Somebody say amen. And Jesus is saying the gates will not prevail against you. And the reason why is he went on to say, because I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. Jesus went down into hell, took back the keys to death, hell, and the grave, and gave them to us. And people say, I'm just waiting on God. Well, you're going to be waiting a long time because he gave you the keys. Keys represent authority. Here's the key to my truck, the key to my house, the safety deposit box. If I give you the keys, I gave you the keys. Now you go take possession. You know, God told the children of Israel, I've given you the land. Well, why didn't God let them go? He told them to go. And God never mentioned giants. He don't talk about the problem. You got go take the land. And Joshua came and said, let's go. We can take it. No, we can't take it. You hadn't seen them? Quit looking. We're going. No. And Joshua and Caleb's the only one that went in. The rest of them died in their fear and in their lack of faithfulness. Somebody say amen. Disobedience. So Jesus said, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. John Wesley said, it seems that God can do nothing for mankind unless some... Boy, this will change your prayer life. It'll put some juice in your prayer life. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. We just waiting on God. I wish God to make... I wish God to bind. I wish God to... No. Listen, folks. Last time I checked... It's called the body of Christ. The head can't do nothing without a body. Now, the body can't do nothing without a head either. The problem is we got Christians running around without a head. We got a word, and we got the... That's why the word in prayer is so important. We got to hear from God. We got to speak the word of God. Some people say, well, I'm out beyond the word. Well, you out beyond where I'm going. I quit following you. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. What does the word of God say? And sometimes people just give you one scripture, and I say, give me three. Brother Hagin had Jesus appeared to him and said, he said, do this. He said, I'll do it, but you got to give me three scriptures. I ain't going to go on one. By two or three, he said, I'll give you five. Jesus gave him five. Hallelujah. He'll. While I'm on the subject, somebody said God told him no. I can't find anywhere in the Bible where God ever said no. I can't. Now, I'm challenging you, go find it. In fact, he said yes when he didn't want to say yes. Now, I'm not talking about I want that man's wife or I want all that money he's got. No. If you're praying that way, you ain't got no sense anyway. I'm talking about people say God told me no. And that's just because they don't want to believe God and they're just too lazy or something. God didn't want Israel to have a king. Oh, let's have a king. Can we have a king? Can we have a king? Okay, I'll give you a king. That's just what's going to cost you. But if you want a king, I'll give you one. Just in little simple things where Peter said, can I come out of the boat and walk on? Yeah, come on, Peter. No, you stay in the boat, you idiot. I really can't find... People say, well, the Apostle Paul, he told him. No, he didn't tell him no. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. I can't find no in that verse anywhere. They just want to say that so they can say, well, he told me what he told Paul. No, he says grace is sufficient. If you'll step out in that grace, you'll be fine. Grace is resisting the devil and clinging to God, according to James chapter 4. Somebody say amen. Okay. So, and I want you to remember something that I quoted in Genesis 22. He said, what did the angel say? I have sworn to you, your descendants will be like. And he said, you shall possess the enemies at the gates. That's what he said. This is a prophetic word to what Jesus is saying here. It's confirmed. He gave you keys to bind and loose. Somebody say amen. Colossians 1, 2 through 12. I got one verse, two verses. Colossians 1, giving thanks to the Father, verses 12, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. How do you get transferred into that kingdom? How do you do that? It's just this simple. Jesus, you are my Lord. And then the last verse. This is the cherry on the top. This is the icing on the cake. This scripture right here just nails it. 1 John 3:8 says this. 1 John 3:8. He who sins is of the devil. Now that word means practices sin. You might slip up and say something or do something, so don't get under conviction. There's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. The word says that he who practices sin. Like, you didn't accidentally fall down and commit adultery. You didn't. Somebody said, when I go to the gym, I work out with weights. I didn't. Oh, I accidentally fell in the gym and started working out. Somebody said they fell into adultery. No, you crawled into that hotel bedroom. I fell down and the woman didn't have her clothes and I landed on top of her. No. No, that wasn't no accident. There was a plan. That's what this is talking about. It says, he who practices sin is of the devil. For the devil has sinned in the beginning. For this purpose, everybody say purpose. The Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. My God is the Lamb that was slain. For the sins of the world, his blood breaks the chains. The devil has no power over me anymore. Amen? You know, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I ain't getting cocky. I got to keep growing and keep going. Amen? Because he's going to try to outsmart me. I just got to get more word. Just keep saying it is written. I had this one young lady. She was going to Oral Roberts University. You remember Sierra? You remember? Yeah. And she called me one day. She said, I've been ministering to this Muslim, and I just keep telling him he needs Jesus. And he kept saying, why? Because you just need him. Why? Well, I mean, you just need Jesus. Folks, if you can't tell people why they need something, it's like taking a toilet to the deepest, darkest jungles of Africa and throwing it out on the ground. Y'all need this. What is that? A beans and rice cooker? No. You don't want to cook beans and rice. That's a used one. I got four of them at my house. They come in handy. You're going to need it. But if you don't know what something is, Miles Monroe said, if you don't know the purpose of something, abuse is inevitable. People are abusing Jesus because they don't know the purpose of Jesus. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And in that story I told you about Anthony Flew. Anthony Flew did not become a Christian. Maybe he did right before he died. I hope he did. And if somebody would just share the word of God with him. Just come here, Anthony. In fact, I love when people say, I'm an atheist. Oh, you're an atheist. Let me tell you a story about this atheist. Let me tell you, give you some scriptures. I love it now. Used to, I was somebody, I don't know how to handle the atheist. I need to get away from them. Man, Bring them to me. And that's not because I'm cocky. It's because I got some word in me now. Amen? So you got to know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And I love sharing this with young people because they just say, my mama said I need Jesus. Grandma said I need him. But you don't even know why you need him. I heard this story. This guy was out preaching on this reservation somewhere way out there, Arizona. They were on this Indian reservation. And the pastor was preaching, the visiting evangelist, and he said, well, listen, there's this one Indian. He gets drunk. He gets some of that fire water in him, and he comes in the back door of that church. He gets crazy. Sometimes he'll start throwing things. Sometimes we just got to shut the service down when he comes. Injun Joe, he's a wild man. He's an adulterer, a drug addict, alcoholic. Well, that night, the preacher, the evangelist is preaching on Romans 10:13. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm closing. This is my invitation, so listen. He said, all of a sudden, the back doors open up, and there comes Injun Joe. He comes walking in the back door of the church, and everybody, oh, he's here. He looks like he's stumbling. Oh. And the preacher just kept on. He wasn't used to it. He just said, well, I'm just going to keep preaching. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Injun Joe walks right down to the front of the church and stands here. And they thought he was going after the preacher. They said, oh, he's going straight at him. And he stops. He stops up at the front, and he looks up. And he says, Jesus! And they said, oh, he's mad at God. We in trouble now. He's probably going to burn the church down tonight. And people, I think some people got up and left. And then all of a sudden, everybody got quiet. And he looks up again. He goes, Jesus! Oh, he's fixing to blow his top. It's going to get wilder than it's ever got. And all of a sudden, he looks up one more time. And he says, Jesus! It got quiet. And then he just went and sat down on the front row and kind of bowed his head. Well, some of the people said, man, he's never done that before. Some of them with real long arms got to go up there and kind of reach out and kind of touch him to see if he's all right. Joe, you all right? Hey, Joe, you all right? He said, yeah, I'm fine. Are you sure you're all right? And then somebody got enough nerve to say, Joe, do you want to get saved? Joe said, I already am saved. Oh, my God, Joe, you ain't saved. You're the worst. You're an adulterer, fornicator, drug addict, alcoholic. You're the worst guy in the whole reservation. Man, you got to get down on that altar branch. You probably need to pray for an hour or two. Joe, you got to get it. And he said, no, I'm saved. Go, no, God, Joe, you can't be saved. You got to work for that thing. And they're going on. And Joe goes, no, no. And then finally, he just said, stop. Well, they got quiet. He said, that preacher just said, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord. In fact, Joe said, y'all don't. Hallelujah. Joe, he said, y'all don't even believe your own preaching. You don't believe your own preaching. That preacher just said, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I just called on him three times. I'm saved. Glory to God. Now listen, somebody said, oh, did it really happen? Joe walked out that door. They said he got more people saved, more people off drugs, more people off alcohol, doing prison ministry than anybody in the whole reservation. Somebody say amen. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, it's called a gift. Last time I checked, you don't got to work for a gift. My mama didn't wake me up on Christmas morning and say, give me 20 push-ups and you can open your presents. If you'll go mow the grass, you can open your... No, these are gifts, son. Go get them, baby. Thank you, mama. They're free. A gift, no strings attached. I was reading that. For God so loved, agape, that means there's no strings attached. It's freely given. The devil hates it. The devil hates the truth. The devil hates the word. Somebody say amen. Amen. Folks, if you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, based on what you've heard today, today is the day of salvation. Or maybe you're here and you said, you know what, I'm not living like I should be living. I've gotten away from my relationship with God. But I see the importance of the Word of God and the importance of prayer. I tell you, this changed my prayer life. I pray for my children. I said, Lord, I thank you that the blood of Jesus covers my children, that in their pathway is life and there is no death. That the gates of hell shall not prevail against my children. They shall not prevail against my home. They shall not prevail against my family. I draw blood right around this thing. We don't just, well, I hope it works out for us. Hope we get lucky. No, we got something to say. We got keys. Use your keys. Somebody say amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask, if you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, or you may say, well, I've gotten away from God. I'm like the prodigal son. I walked away. I want to go back to my Father's house. If that's you and you want to be restored back to your relationship with Jesus, I'm going to ask you, I'm going to count to three. If God's speaking to you, if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, I want you to shoot your hand in the air. Are you ready? Now, I'm an evangelist. This is what I like to do. I'm going to count to three. Are you ready? One, shoot that hand up boldly. It don't matter what anybody thinks. We're in a good place right here. Two, get ready to shoot that hand up. If you want to make sure, if you're not sure, if your heart's shaking or your heart's beating heavy, it's probably God speaking to you. Three, shoot that hand up. Anybody in the building? Anybody? Anybody? We may all be saved. Y'all need to start bringing sinners to church with you. Hallelujah. 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 You know, I think it was a Dr. Cho. They have the biggest church in the world. He says you can't come to church unless you bring a sinner. And they standing in line out in the front of the door. I think they're almost at 1 million members now. There's 100,000 people in Lowndes County. And I'm sure there's some folks here from Clinch County and Eccles County and Lanier County and Brooks County. Folks, there's probably, all them counties together, there's probably 200,000 people. We got work to do. Somebody said, we got one of the biggest churches in town. Notice Satan's got the biggest church in town. He got about 150,000 members. Amen? We got to go get them. And when you confess Jesus is Lord, you are translated. I didn't feel anything. At 20 years of age, I confessed Jesus is Lord. I got translated in. And I'm reading my will every day to find out what belongs to me. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for everyone under the sound of my voice. Lord, I thank you that your word shall not return void, but it'll accomplish what it was sent to do. Lord, I thank you that your word, that we'll see what belongs to us. We'll see who we are in you. We'll see what we can do through you, Lord. And it's not about what we can have or what we can get. It's about advancing the kingdom of God in Jesus' name. It's about what we can give. And Lord, we can't give if we don't have. You said you'd give seed to the sower and bread for food. So we can feed the hungry, that we can give finances to people like in Haiti. Lord, we want to advance the kingdom. We want to expand the kingdom as the enduring body of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, everybody say, amen. Glory to God. Does anybody need to say anything? Tell somebody you love them as you go. If you're interested, we have a devotional that we send out every day. It's called Daily Stir. You can email me or you can go to our website at futurenow.us. God bless you. We love you. Have a blessed day.